before starting, I want to ask Jiren how he can forget April's birthday. When the year starts itself, I'm looking forward for April because April's birthday is on April. Alright, happy birthday. Thanking God once again for giving this opportunity. It's a privilege standing in front of the congregation. The reason is that's the only time I'm also studying deeply in the Bible. So it is a privilege and it is a great blessing. We celebrated Easter. And for an assembly is concerned, every Sunday we are celebrating His death, His burial, and His resurrection. So, every day we are celebrating His resurrection in our life, in public life, isn't it? Because we are not worshipping a dead God. We are worshipping a God who is living. So that's the biggest difference. Not long ago, when I was driving back from work, I was listening to NPR. When I'm going to work, I'm listening to Jimsy, that's my wife. And when I'm coming back, I'm listening to NPR until Jimsy comes to the car. And a friend of mine recently said there is one type of seatbelt is available which covers the mouth also. But she's not that much bad, really. Anyway, so I was listening to NPR. And NPR was broadcasting a documentary about IRS and the religious organization. I mean, I want to say it is religious organization, otherwise we will label it as a Christian organization. But the way that they act, it is another religious organization. I'm taking that liberty to say that way. Maybe some of us must have seen this one before. I think I did it wrong way. Technological issues. You have seen all my speech already. So the first one is about Daystar. Daystar is founded by Marcus and Joni Lamb. Let me take that screen.
Previous slide.
This is Daystar. The Internal Revenue Service considers Daystar something as a church. We know Daystar is a broadcaster, TV broadcaster. They are showing a lot of religious, Christian programs. But according to the IRS, they are categorized themselves as a church. So church is defined in IRS manual, saying a congregation comes together, worship together, conduct marriage, and conduct funeral or all the religious activity. But Daystar registered themselves as a church. They are making tens of millions of dollars a year through TV broadcasting. The NPR investigation found out that they are collecting a huge sum of money, but there are no accountability about their distribution. So they asked them about where you are distributing all this stuff, money. Then they said to certain organization. Further investigation shows that they are donating this money mostly to their family business. So all churches all over America can be audited now. So that's the situation we are facing right now. If you look at the slide, they have 233 million in assets. They shall have spent 572,154 from ministry income to pay for sponsorship and expense of a Christian NASCAR driver, Blake Hodge. That is their way of managing money. Next, hope I'll get it. Kenneth Copeland, 18,280 square foot residence. He called that one as parsonage. As of 2008, the property was valued, you can read it. He got a private airport. As of December 6, 2010, there were 9 aircraft based at the airport, 4 single engine, 3 multi-engine, and 2 jet airplanes. And he explained that this is to reach to the end of the world with the word of God. That's what he said about this plane. When NPR asked that question, we are using this plane for proclaiming the word of God. Then NPR went to one step ahead and they checked the logbooks from somewhere else. Tim May knows it. And most of his flight was to Hawaii. A lot of, heathen people are there, it seems. So he's going 3 times a year. And he's also going to Paris. Also going to other places for shopping. You know, this is a sad picture, isn't it? What we are seeing is the watchman on the wall is sleeping. God asked each individual to do their duty and they are using their authority and power in a wrong way. On this Easter Sunday, I don't want to talk about or a bad mouth about others. And that's not my intention. What I'm saying is, when you are crying out from the corners of these roads and saying, IRS is after me, IRS is after the religious organization, we need to identify there are stuff like that happening around. This is true. It was verified. When the culture is going in a wrong direction, God asks you to stand in between. As a watchman on the wall. If you are failing, you are responsible for that mistake. That's not only for an organization. As an individual, I am responsible. As a church, we are responsible. As a family, we are responsible. We do have responsibility towards us, as well as surroundings, isn't it? So if we fail, definitely, we need to answer. We need to give an answer to God. Before getting into the main subject, let's pray one more time. Father God, we thank you again for enabling us to worship you, Lord. Lord, what we are seeing throughout the Word of God is the greatest redemptive work that you have completed on that cross. And the salvation that you provided. Lord, we are taking all these things very light sometimes. Lord, help us to be serious and help us to know our position, our position as well as what you are expecting from us and to work accordingly. Lord, help us. When we are meditating these words, Lord, help us. Lord, I am feeble. We are not able to concentrate sometimes. We are not able to communicate very well. But we know, Lord, the Holy Spirit is mighty and powerful. And your word is mighty and powerful too. Lord, help us. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, if you look into James chapter 5, verse 17, James chapter 5, verse 17, it's talking about a prophet Elijah. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. Why I am bringing Elijah in between? He is a God servant from the Old Testament, but you can see his work throughout the New Testament too. And he was in such a situation, exactly like what we are right now. The society was going in a wrong direction, and he was in the middle. He was in the crossroad between the changes which was happening at that time. And he was bold enough, and he was managing the situation for God. And the Bible says he was a human being, even as we are. That is the first part of the verse. The first part. It is same like us. The current culture is going in a wrong direction. As we heard from brother this morning, the church is going in a wrong direction in some places. The government is going in a wrong direction. The society is going in a wrong direction. You can always cry about this. You can always complain about it. But what you are doing, you are supposed to do something according to God's plan. So in James chapter 5 verse 17, the first part says, Elijah was a human being even as we are. If you look into his life of Elijah, on Luke chapter 1 verse 17, it says, talking about John, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So Elijah's spirit, the Holy Spirit is writing about Elijah in such a way that to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. You know, that is the Holy Spirit what we are having. Are we doing that work? I am not doing, I am guilty. This morning, that's what we need to think about. Are we doing our part? We are not doing our part at all. In Luke chapter 1, the Holy Spirit recorded very clearly, saying that the Elijah spirit, one of the properties of that spirit was to prepare people for the Lord. When you look into Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 through 6, it says, Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. That is in the Old Testament. That's why when Lord was on the cross, when he was crying out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, when he was crying out, it says, verse 36, and someone ran and filled their sponge with sour wine. Before that, behold, he is calling Elijah, and someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. Why I am saying all these verses? It is purposefully I am saying because the importance of Elijah. He started from the Old Testament, but he continued through New Testament. We know about the transfiguration story. What happened on that time? I'm not going through those things. But Elijah was a person, he stand for God. Let's look into his family, his life, and his place in history, his occupation, and notable characters. Elijah is the Hebrew name for Elijah is the English name we are calling for Eliab. That is the Hebrew. Back in India, back in Kerala, we know Elijah as Eliab. So that is the Hebrew name, and the meaning of that name is my God. My God is Yahweh. Again, in Malayalam, we say Yehovah, Yahweh. So that is his name. Elijah means, my God is Yahweh. Think about this situation. The culture is going in a wrong direction. In between, one person stand up and say, my name is, my name, the meaning of my name is, my God is Yahweh. A society which rejected Jesus Christ, a society which rejected God, will look at you and ridicule at you, isn't it? You cannot stand in that society. So his life or the circumstances that he faced is not different than what we are facing right now. But Elijah, God used Elijah in a mighty way. So, when we are talking about his heritage and family information, Elijah was a Tishbite from Gilead. He was a Benjamite, son of Jerome, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 27. The tribe of Benjamin produced several heroes and mighty warriors. So that's the only information we are having about Elijah. He is coming from a Tishbite. They are living in Gilead area. And his appearance in the Bible in 1 Kings chapter 17 is very dramatic. We'll get into that. Where he lived? Elijah lived during the 9th century BC. The northern kingdom of Israel had already split off from Judah for a long time. It had become a runaway from God's plan. The people primarily worshipped Baal, partially because of the influence of Jezebel. Therefore, Elijah, whose name Yahweh is God, or the Lord is my God, would have stood out from the crowd and faced danger of persecution and death. That was his situation. That's the place where he lived. So dangerous, isn't it? So difficult time. Now we are hearing a lot of news about Iran, Middle East. Recently I saw an article from Saudi Arabia. They said certain names are not allowed to be used in that country. Muhammad is not allowed. The name of Jesus is not allowed. You cannot have a name. I mean, none of the people from Mexico with the Jesus name can ever enter into that place. It is not allowed. The name of their king cannot be used by a common man. You cannot carry a Bible in Saudi Arabia. As a family, we were arrested once in an airport. Four of us were there and four of us were in a room for 3 hours, 4 hours or something. And in a miraculous way, God used Gerald in that situation. He played around with the officer, and at the end of the meeting, the officer said, I cannot take any action against you because of your son. He is praying. That time I was working for a company, European company, and in the management book, or we called the internal blue book, it says, if you ever been deported from that country, the company will give you 1 year salary and will send everything to India or wherever you are, wherever the original place, and will place you back to any other country near within 1 year. So, believe me, I was happy when I was arrested. So, the police officer looked at us and said, you're not allowed to, the Jidil was carrying a small caricature or some picture of I don't remember exactly what it was, some cartoon book or something. So that guy felt it was against Islam, and we got arrested. And he said, all my mails will be scanned, and they will be looking through all my mails, all my phone conversation, everything. I lived there for another few more years, and we had an underground church there. There was no problems. That was the situation. Then you cannot stand with the name of God. Elijah was living in such situation. And what is his occupation? No specific training mentioned. However, from his habit, it appears Elijah was an outdoor type. He had a strange dress and he was a runner. That's the only thing we can understand about him. And his place in history, Elijah was one of the most important and most respected prophets in Israel history. God used him to bring about a revival in the northern kingdom. God accomplished a number of miracles through Elijah. He was one of the most significant figures in Israel history, along with Abraham, Moses, and David. He was going to come to earth again before the last time. That's what we know about Elijah. So, James chapter 5 says that he is like a common person. He is like another, like us. He's another human. But how God used him? That's the most important topic. Elijah, is he special? Absolutely no. According to 5:17, again the same version, English Standard Version, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. He is a human, but other quality that he was holding is about his prayer. That's what the scripture says. The scripture is giving us the idea why he is a superman. He is super because of his continuous prayer. When the watchman on the wall fails, you need to step up. You need to do what you are supposed to do. That time, what you need to have is the continuous prayer. Are we missing that point? How much we are involved in prayer? When problem comes, yes, we do pray. When problem moves, we praise God and then we forget prayer. That's a common nature of Jacob Thomas. Okay, let's see the weakness and strength of Elijah. He's having a lot of fear. He's inconsistent. He's having his own pride. These three characters, I believe all of us got that, isn't it? We are afraid about certain things. Even if the IRS asks us why your middle name is spelled wrongly, you are afraid. A policeman comes and stops you, you are afraid. When a sound you hear from somewhere else, you are afraid. He is like another person like me and you. He's inconsistent. Today I am spirit-filled, and tomorrow when I am creating a problem, I am going in the opposite direction. I do have my own pride. Let's turn into 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10 and 14. Verses 10 and 14. If somebody can read it for me, that will be great.
And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Verse 14, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away.
So, in that area also, he is asking God to take his life. Am I right on that? Can you read the next verse also, please?
Verse 15.
Yeah.
And the Lord God said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria.
he got his own pride. I mean, exactly like our life, he is having all the wrong things that we are supposed to have. He also got the same thing. The fear. Right after God brought about a great miracle and answered Elijah's prayer on Mount Carmel, Elijah grew afraid of Jezebel and ran away. This demonstrated the lack of faith in God and His protection. Are we doing the same thing sometimes, isn't it? When God is walking along with you, and when God is doing the miracle in our life, and when you are knowing that, when you are enjoying His presence with you, that immediately after that, you are feeling that God abandoned you. You are afraid. You are trying to find your own way of protection. You are running away from the problems. You don't have any dependency. You are afraid and you are not going to depend on God anymore. That fear is in him. And again, as the second one, inconsistent, Elijah was a human. He experienced highs and lows in his walk with God. Sometimes he had an emotional high and then depression would follow. How can we avoid that in our life? Elijah was so afraid. And he said, he is alone. There is nobody more. I am alone. And he went into the depression. After the greatest miracle that he has seen, he completely abandoned God. I don't want to say abandoned. He forget about God. Is that the way that our life too? But because of his continuous prayer, God used him in a mighty way. Let's look at the strength side. Faith. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, 21 and 18. If somebody can read it for me. First Kings chapter 17, verse 1, 21 and 18.
Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word."
Verse 21.
Then he stretched himself upon the child three times, and called to the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray you let this child's life return to him."
There are several times in his life when Elijah demonstrated the great faith in God. He great faith in the God. When Ahab the king was standing there, he went and confronted him. And he said, "There won't be any more rain," because of his great faith. And Elijah was strong enough to say, "God, give me the power to raise this child." He prayed. He got that faith in him. And the next one is obedience. That is one of his strengths. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 3 and 5. On several occasions, God gave Elijah very difficult commands. He told him to go to a river and wade there, and said the crow would provide for him. He just obeyed that. God's great prophet was bold enough to stand in front of the king. And now the God is asking him, "Okay, go and stay there. I am going to ask the bird to give you food." And he just obeyed. In my case, I may say, "God, why can't you send some eagle? Why you are sending just crow?" He obeyed God in the same way as he said. And Elijah did it. God told him to go and let a poor widow provide for him. The God who is having control over whole earth, why you are sending me to a person, sending to a widow? God asked him to go to that place, and just Elijah did it exactly as God asked. He just followed. His obedience is great. And Elijah was asked to confront Ahab. on numerous occasions, and he just obeyed. And you're talking about the courage. On numerous occasions, Elijah showed great courage by risking his life in order to make a stand for God in front of the people or in front of the Ahab, hoping to encourage them to choose to serve God rather than Baal. He was courageous. And the last but not least, selfless. At the time of the offering of evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have turned their heart back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. All of us know the story. He stand without any selfish ambition. It was a selfless act. His life was on the line. He stand firm for God. So when you are seeing the weakness and the strength of Elijah, he got fear, exactly like me and you. He is inconsistent, exactly like you and me, and he got his own pride. But when you are seeing the strength, he got that faith. He got that obedience. He got that courage. He got that selfless approach to the issues. How we are doing in our life. We know our weakness. But let us concentrate on strength. Do we have those strength? Do we have that faith? Do we have that obedience? These are the questions towards me. I am wondering about my faith sometimes. How strong I am. When a tide comes, I am afraid. When an issue I am seeing in my life, I am forgetting everything what he did in my past. The way that he provided me, the way that he was guiding me, I'm easy to forget everything. In obedience, I'm always looking for eagle, not a crow. I want him to give me the things in a proper way. I am trying to dictate my terms to my God. Courage, forget it. When issue comes, I cannot stand. Why? What is the common reason? What is the reason? Because of my prayer life. Lack of my prayer life. Lack of my prayer life. This morning, that is the only one message that I want to convey. Watch our prayer life. Elijah was a human like you and me. But he was continuously, he was in prayer. So God used him in a mighty way. Elijah stand with the name, "My God is Yahweh." This morning, the question towards us is, who and what is my God? Can you stand firm and say, "My God is Yahweh"? What you are giving, what is the importance in your life? What got the importance in your life? Is it your family, job, your children? Or are you able to stand saying that on my God is Yahweh? But another question is, what is my name? What is my name? You are calling me Jacob. My mom say, "You are Jacob, you are shrewd." But he changed Jacob to Israel, isn't it? You are a Christian, you are bearing the name of Christ. That's your name. Are you standing for that name? Elijah stand firm in front of Ahab. As surely as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. Can you stand that firm and question the society? Because you are called like Elijah. Are you able to do that? When Elijah is in action, his messages are short and direct. He was not greeting him in a long way, or he is saying anything more than what he is supposed to. It was short and direct. That's the place the church lost its significance in the society. We are not talking directly. We are trying to cover up that one with the chocolate. We are covering it up and trying to give them in another way. If you listen to Joe Austin, if you listen to some of the preachers around, the importance of the message lost because of its covering. The wrapping is much more. Elijah's spiritual attitude. Did he have a corner on spirituality? No. He got what we have. In conclusion, finally be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Now the question is, what is my role? What I need to do to complete God's purpose? We can cry and we can say, the watchman on the wall failed. We can say our church is not performing well. We can say we are not getting the correct direction. But my role, what I am doing. If you are fulfilling your role according to your name, because you are Christian, you are a person who is following Christ, the God will use you mightily. This morning, two questions I need to answer to myself. What is my role in the society? What I need to do to complete God's purpose? I hope that question will follow us throughout. May I ask Brother Prakash to conclude?
Thank you, Father, for this great prophet of the Old Testament who was simply a person like one of us. Father, we thank you for his weaknesses that you gave him and his strengths. Even in his weakness, even through his weaknesses, you showed forth your power working through him. And in his strength, Father, that you used him for your purposes to be fulfilled. Father, this morning we confess our shortcomings before you. We do realize, Father, we are fleshly, sinful beings, but we thank you for the power of Christ that lives within us, that we can do mighty things through you and through your power and through the Holy Spirit. So Father, we pray that you prepare us for our lives in this world as we face challenges in our lives. Father, we pray that you would give us the wisdom and the knowledge that we need to show forth through wisdom of Christ in and through us. Father, we thank you for this day, for giving us another day, Father, to once again come together in accordance to your word and to remember you and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that led us today in our meetings. Father, as we now travel to our respective homes, we pray that you give us safety, especially those who are traveling further away, Father, to your respective homes that are visitors. We pray that for their safety as they travel back. Thank you again, Father, for hearing our prayers today. It is in Christ's precious and worthy name.